down the road, you'll be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than the ones you did. So dream, explore, say yes to life. Be inspired to live life as an exciting adventure of discovery. You are listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, and I'm your host, Mark Susnow. Hey, everybody, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that hopefully will get you to think different, to think outside the box, and to look at your life in a different way. And every week I invite various individuals to join us, to share their insights with us, to kind of perhaps inspire us, to get us again to do things that we've kind of want to do, but we've kind of been holding back. We just haven't had the courage or the drive to just go ahead and do it and take a leap of faith. So this week I've invited Karen Kingsbury. She's been on the show before. She's a number one best-selling New York Times author, and she's considered by many the top inspirational author. She writes about the Baxter family, and she's their last 15 books, I believe, have been on the bestseller list. And she has a new book out, and I love the title, When We Were Young. And we all kind of have that idea of way back when we were young, and life seems so different, and life changes all the time. One of the ways it's changed is the whole social media. That's part of our lives now, and there are certain dangers with that, certain pitfalls. And so I was intrigued when her publicist contacted me, and in the materials they sent me, they talked about how the book not only is an inspirational story, it's a love story, but it's also a cautionary tale about the dangers of social media. So, Karen, welcome back to the Inspire Possibility Show.
Thanks so much, Mark. It's so good to be back.
Yes. And we were talking a little bit off air, and we were this idea of what prompted you to get into this in one of your books to kind of, and what I like, by the way, is using story to talk about ideas as opposed to just talking about the idea instead of just an article about social media or a book about it. I like the way it's woven into a story, because I think in a way that's what we remember more. So how did that idea come to you? What motivated you to want to talk about social media in this way?
Well, usually when I'm working on a story idea, several different things come together at the same time. And in this case, I had actually heard a song by John Mayer called Never on the Day You Leave. And it's an amazing song. It's very heartfelt, very emotional. But the point of the song is, on the day you walk out the door, you don't even think about what life's going to look like a year from now, 5 years, 10, 20 years from now. You're just out, you're done, it's not fair, you're not being treated well, whether it's a marriage or whether it's, you know, siblings or friends or whatever it might be. And you walk out the door and you don't think about tomorrow. And the song begs you to think about it. And I thought, okay, you know, I'm a huge fan of the Dickens story, A Christmas Carol, and just Scrooge. And the idea that it could happen, that a miracle could take place, and you might get a glimpse at tomorrow. You might be able to see in one night what your life would look like if you really do walk out the door tomorrow. So with that in mind, I kind of was looking for who is this couple? Who is this young couple going to be, and what's it going to look like, and why is he leaving? And, you know, I have a lot of young readers. I have a lot of readers who are in college or millennials, and so often I'll find myself in conversations with them at an event or whatnot, and they talk about how their goal is to become Instagram famous. They're going to make their living by, you know, having enough followers to get paid to be, you know. I mean, this is like,
just like
you know,
yeah, just,
what do you want to be?
Yeah, just what
not
you're talking
teacher,
about. My daughter's
a,
that way.
This
yeah.
is what they want to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so how old
is
your daughter?
31. She
yeah.
fits in that category.
But, you know, I mean,
you know?
Sure, if you've got the right iPhone or the right camera, you can get the right angles and post the right things, and all of a sudden people start to really want to know. Well, yeah, there's several couples out there that are Instagram famous with millions of followers, and people wait with bated breath for their next post to just have a glimpse at this beautiful, kind of perfect life. So I decided that would be my characters. So Noah and Emily are Instagram famous with millions of followers, and they have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and no one knows that while the outside shell has remained this beautiful picture, and they make their money, they make their living on this, but now along the way, the marriage has crumbled. It's become more virtual than real. The marriage has crumbled, and Noah is leaving in the morning. So that's where we pick up with when we were young. And it was really, it just feels very timely. I have 5 adult kids as well that all, actually, which is kind of exciting, none of them are really into the whole social media thing. But I think it's only because I have to be as an author, and they sort of see it as work.
Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting twist, huh?
Is
to show them that it's work instead of fun. I'm not
right.
going to do that if it's work. Yeah.
But I also feel like that's just generally that's not the case. And then, you know, the case is, and I think with social media, with this kind of, you know, I need to have a platform. And this runs the gamut of positions and jobs. So if you get hired to do anything in the limelight, so if they're hiring you to be a writer for a magazine, or if a label is going to give you a deal as a singer, they're looking for you to bring your platform first. So you know, there's a reason for someone. You can't just, it's not enough to sing. Now you have to be singing, and you have to have a following of, you know, 5, 10, 15,000 people minimum before someone will give you a look. So there's a lot of reasons why the industries that we might want to get into have required that you're kind of a presence on social media. And then it's just, the problem is it drives your life. So rather than it becoming a reflection of your life, it actually drives your life to where you're living out a certain way, so that your virtual pictures and your presentation on social media will reflect what you want it to. And it's really bizarre. It like takes over your actual life.
Which kind of gets into the whole idea of wanting to, a lot of us that are, you know, in a spiritual path, looking for a deeper truth, or looking to, you know, want to be real and authentic. And in a way, it sounds like with social media or just a lot of things like that, instead what happens is it's the opposite of being authentic. We just are putting what we want people to see. It's creating a false image.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, it's a false image. It becomes this... you know, you wake up in the morning, this is what happens with Noah and Emily is, I mean, even one really sad, tragic moment, her sort of special needs sister lives with them, and she doesn't have long to live. And so on the morning when they find her and she's struggling and to breathe and she needs a 911 call, and Noah runs into the room and sees that there's a crisis, and he picks up his phone, and Emily yells at him, "Don't take a picture." So, like, how sad that it's come to this place that you're not thinking that your husband, your love of your life, is calling 911. You think he's trying to do a photo. You know, that is a really tragic place to have reached, where there's no trust in the relationship anymore because everything is staged.
Right. Everything is right. There's no privacy.
Exactly. And that's, you know,
yeah.
Especially when you have an Instagram fan, an internet famous, you know, social media famous couple. In this case, you know, they had Bible verses. They meant well. I mean, it starts off with good intentions. We can be a light to the world that so desperately needs it. We can be an influence. And then before you know it, you find, you know, he's waking up and setting the table for a photo rather than giving her a hug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. So what do you what do you think the answer is? I mean, what do you, how do you find that balance with this need? And in a way, the whole media is that way with let's say television, with you know, this idea of advertisements. In a way, it's a form of it's a personal advertisement in some ways. A lot of the, you know, to get followers on Instagram or other social media, just like an advertisement is for a product.
Oh, yeah,
what's
definitely
your thought
true.
About that?
You know, I think the people who actually end up making their living in this kind of thing, I think they stumble into it. I don't think anyone really ever sets out to do this and then does it. It's, you know, it's like winning the lottery or, you know, winning American Idol. I mean, it's so few people. I would say, let's never make that your goal. Let's never make it the end goal. It should happen that you're living such an extraordinary life that there are people that want to know what you're doing. And let your life drive the social media, not the social media drive your life. I think that's the first place, that's where I would begin with my, after kind of writing this book when we were young and seeing how it can make such a, destroy really what you have that's real, I would say, first of all, live your life. Let your life be what shines, not your social media. You know, secondly, I would say as you follow social media, unfollow everything and everyone who discourages you. Like, if you're on and you're saying, I can't live up to those people, I can't compare, now I feel terrible about myself, I feel jealous, I have all these awful feelings just sort of rumbling around in my heart and soul, unfollow. And if they're stirring up anger about politics or anger about issues, unfollow. Only follow the things that inspire you and allow yourself a maximum, like, 10 minutes, 30 minutes a day, nothing more than that. Because you have to live your life. You do not want it to be consumed by social media.
That's a good idea. First of all, to limit it and to unfollow people that a lot of times people follow people because they want to be inspired. They want to have somebody in a way that they can strive towards, strive to become, and so I think that's kind of why they do it too. So in a way, they're sometimes looking for more people to follow, to get ideas from these people.
Well, and that can become its own sickness. You know, so that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to analyze yourself and say, where does that line go from, you know, this inspires me to this cripples me, because I don't think I can ever be like that. That comparison game is dangerous. You know, it's dangerous for anyone.
It's very dangerous. Yeah. So I like the title. How did you, because I'm an author myself, I would sometimes agonize over titles. And I love your title. How did you come up with that?
Well, so, you know, and through the course of a night, so Noah goes to sleep, and he's a former football player. He had some concussions. So occasionally he gets pretty severe headaches. So he goes to bed with a pretty bad headache. Granted, I mean, he's leaving his family in the morning, so he's in a stressed situation. As he goes to sleep, he wakes up and keeps waking up throughout the night, and he's older each time, 5 years older, 8 years older, 10 years older. Keeps, and the kids are older, and he doesn't live in the same house. He's like in an apartment, and there's no semblance of the life he once lived, and he doesn't remember leaving. He doesn't remember having this falling out with his wife, and he can't understand what's happening, to the point that when he's, you know, when he sees the kids at one point, they're 18 and 20 toward the end of the book, and he is desperate, like he can barely breathe, just desperate for the chance to be young again. He's just wanting, like, God, get me back to when we were young. And that's the cry of his heart. So that became a really easy title, that was what happens to him during this one night. The whole book takes place in 24 hours, but in that time, Emily is sitting outside watching a storm in the sky, and she's actually remembering where they began. So we get to take them from the moments of the, you know, the first beautiful, like, connection and the chemistry all the way to when the kids are 18 and 20, and it all happens in a 24-hour period.
Wow. I think all of us have, or most all of us, have that idea of looking back on our lives and remember when we were young and how different things were. I don't know necessarily, I mean, the first thing comes to me I was going to say was innocent, and simple, but in a lot of ways that isn't true. I mean, for a lot of people, their childhood wasn't so innocent or simple. And but it's still this idea that we you know, it's a thing of, I wish I knew back then what I knew now. But if you did, you know, if you did have the wisdom back then that you did, and the energy, that would be quite something. But today, you know, we have the wisdom to go along with it, to replace a lot of the energy. But it's that balance of looking back on our lives. Oh wow, I wish I could. Do you ever come up with the idea if I could do my life over, what I would do differently? You ever think about that?
You know, I do think about that, and usually pretty quickly it takes me back to today, because no matter how old you are, you're never going to be younger than you are now. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. What is it, you know, that I can learn today? And that's something I think the early reports coming in from my new book, When We Were Young, is that people are saying, wow, like I stopped and I really thought about my life and my relationships. And, you know, if you could know what's going to happen if you walk out that door, you might not do it. You know, if you knew what was going to happen 5 years, 10 years down the road, you may not leave tomorrow for whatever that relationship, and you might work a little harder to keep it. Relationships are gold. You know, they're really important. And, you know, if you could know, you would just maybe do things differently. So I think wherever you are and however old you are, you're young today, younger than you'll be tomorrow. And so take the wisdom that you would like to have passed on to your even younger self and apply it today. This is the day to make that difference.
Mm-hmm. Right. So in a way, I guess the perspective is when we were young is could realistically be today.
Exactly. Yes. This is the day that you're young. This is the day. Yeah. If you're 95, you know, you're younger today than you'll be tomorrow.
Right. That's a great perspective. So, you know, what I'm curious about it is a lot of people, I run into so many people that, where I live in Northern California in Marin County, you meet so many people that are, you know, they have day jobs, but they're aspiring writers or musicians or artists, painters, sculptors, and they're just into learning and developing this other side to themselves. But very few of them, in my area, Annie Lamott lives. Are you familiar with Annie Lamott?
Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's like a hero in Marin.
Yeah.
But there are not a lot of people like her around, or like yourself, that make a living doing this. And so what's it like to be a writer? What's it like in terms of, you know, a lot of people, when I tell them I'm a writer, they want to know, well, do you write first thing in the morning or that kind of stuff? How do you do it? Do you have a practice or a routine? What is it? Or do you wait to get inspired? How do you do it?
Well, for me, I'm in a contract, so I can't wait till I'm inspired. But the good news is I live pretty inspired all the time. I really feel like God gives me stories in my head like a movie, and he gives me the privilege to kind of be the first reader as I'm writing them. They just feel like movies that are just coming to life right on the pages. So I'm currently on, today was day one actually, on writing my book that will be out next year at this time. And so I do have I have to outline. I want a very, very strong outline before I start. And I switch points of view when I write. So my outline shows whose point of view and where and when and what's happening before. And I have to love that. And I know how many words roughly each chapter will be before I'll move on to actually writing page one. But a day like today, so I'll get up and go downstairs. We have a gym downstairs, and I will do a workout / prayer time of just really, it's just beautiful. It's just like my happy place, and I'm just so full by the time I'm finished that. And then, you know, shower, I'll read my Bible, and then I'll go upstairs. I have a spot that has just a beautiful view. And I have to, this is essential, I have to turn off the internet. So I have a little program on my computer called Freedom. And I actually disable my internet, like I can't get it back. And I'll disable it for however many hours I need to write, 6, 8, whatever it might be. And then I have to turn off my phone and, like, throw it across the room. Stay away from me, phone. Because I have mm-hmm. 6 adult kids and my husband, and any one of them could text me and throw me right into a conversation and out
right.
of my.
So place. What? So Karen, what you're saying is you still write on your computer. It's just that you just disable the internet and your phone.
Right.
Right.
Yes, the laptop
yeah.
becomes just like a little typewriter. I mean, it's just all I can do now with it is write, and then everything I can't.
Uh-huh.
do Christmas shopping online. I can't look at Nordstrom for something
uh-huh.
to wear next week. I can't, it's all off except
uh-huh.
for the writing. So then I can write, and then I reward myself. So I tell myself, write as fast as you can, get as much, for a half hour. And then I write down my word count, and I should get about 1,000 words in a half hour. And then I'll take a 2-minute break, and then I'll do another half hour. And then I'll get up and take a 5-minute break and turn on my phone, check my texts, you know, see if I
uh-huh.
have to respond to anything, then turn it right back off again and back into bed. So I have to be very, very disciplined because life is really fun. We have our 2 little grandboys live nearby, and they're 4 and three, and my characters are 4 and 2. They're 3 and 8 months and just darling. So I have to be completely disciplined during those 6 to 8 hours. And then, you know, that first draft should take just a few weeks to get done. Now, I've been working on it for a year, but the actual writing of the book is really a very intensive kind of few-week process.
So what you're saying, your system is that you would write as fast as you can, typing for a half hour, take a break,
mm-hmm.
and then go back for another half hour?
Exactly, yeah. And I just
yeah.
keep doing that. I bring tea and sometimes bone broth and, you know, just things like that upstairs with me so that I don't have to be drawing out water, you know, so I have everything ready to go. And,
uh-huh.
I just have to stay very disciplined to the process. If I do, the reward is the book is going to get finished. If I don't, if I leave the internet on, literally, I mean, I'm buying shoes for my son at college and then
I'm checking
the weather, you know, you just... distraction, because we are a very distracted society, and I'm no exception. So I have to create an environment as if I had gone away to the woods and I couldn't get internet.
So how much time in a day, if you're work, like you're under contract, and you're doing this book just came out, I believe what last Tuesday, is that right, or
mm-hmm. Tuesday? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a launch date, and you're doing a book tour. And is a book tour, you're doing, is that right, you're doing a book tour now?
Well, I'm just finishing it up. So I release 2 novels a year. And so the fall one is a little bit more of a limited tour. So tonight is
uh-huh.
my last event. I'll be at a Nashville bookstore tonight. And we live here, so that's not that difficult. It'll be fun. And then I'm kind of done. I have a week at Liberty University, but I'll be doing quite a few speaking events while I'm there, but the tour itself kind of ends up today. You know, wraps up today.
And you're also—I didn't say this in the introduction—but you also teach creative writing. Is that right at Liberty University?
I do. So when I go in town, they'll film some online classes. I'll speak at Convocation with 16,000 college kids, and I'm doing the prayer breakfast for the city this year. So just, you know. You get in front of a lot of people and get a chance to share and encourage, which I love. I love public speaking, so I get to do that along the way too.
Mm-hmm. So right now, what do you feel is your biggest challenge?
You know, for me, honestly, Mark, I want to slow my schedule, my release schedule down. I would like to see just one book a year because we have – my son and I are writing a children's series, which is kind of like a Little House on the Prairie. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
chapter books. And the first one comes out in February called The Best Family Ever. And it's going to be the Baxters when they were little, like when they were 9 to 12 kind of thing. And they are delightful. I mean, these are going to be very popular books. I'm super excited. But with that, I feel like having just one adult novel, that would be great. Because I think right now the greatest challenge is to, you know, I'm getting the books written and getting them out, but I feel like if I had more time before I move on to the next thing, I would just feel like it would be more thorough.
Uh-huh. So this has become almost like formulaic in a way, what you're doing with the Baxter family?
Yeah, you know, say the books are. I feel like the books are some of my best books I've ever written, and I'm so excited. But I don't feel like they get enough of my attention once they're out. You know, so it's like there's so much more. Like the book, I love the book, but like I feel like I just released, you know, my book To the Moon and Back came out like 5 months ago. So I don't want these books to get lost in the pace. And, I just kind of think if we had a little bit slower release schedule, so we're working on that. I mean, it's a decision the publisher has to make with me, and we have to work together on that. So for now, I mean, I'm hitting my deadlines, and I thought the books are really amazing, and that's all good. But I thought there's unfinished business with each one.
You know, one question I asked you, and maybe you answered it, and I missed it, but I was just curious about how much time in a day you work on actually writing the book.
I would say 6 to 8 hours, although when I get really on deadline, like, you know, I have a November 1st deadline for this book I just started today. So, I mean, I've been working on it, you know, getting the pieces together and outlining it and whatnot for months, but now that we're actually down to the writing. So 6 to 8 hours, and if I'm really on a roll, I mean, I might just take an hour break and go right back to it. It depends on how kind of sucked into the story I get. The later in the book, the longer I write, because I just can't put it down.
Exactly. Yeah. So I want to remind our listeners, we're having a conversation with Karen Kingsbury. She's a New York best-selling author, New York best-time-selling author, and you can get all her books at all the bookstores and Amazon. And I know once before you're really a firm believer in supporting the local bookstores. And do you still... I know once before you had an offer for our listeners or people that buy their book at a bookstore. Do you still have that?
I do, yes. Anyone, if they go out, they pick up a copy of When We Were Young and you're at the bookstore, just send me a photo of the receipt. You can find out the information on my website, KarenKingsbury.com. But just send me a photo of the receipt, and I have a free short story that I'll email you.
All right. So, Karen, I know you have a tight schedule today, so I want to thank you for taking the time to be on the Inspire Possibility Show. It's been very informative, and your book sounds great and thought-provoking, and I want to encourage everybody out there to pick up a copy, and I think you'll be entertained and inspired at the same time. So, again, thanks again to Karen Kingsbury for being our guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. And in the meantime, till we have another inspiring, amazing person, till next week, journey on. Thanks for listening. I hope you feel inspired to take the next step in your life. And if you haven't already, please take the time to visit my website at inspirepossibility.com and discover the various services and products we offer that could just very well change your life.